piercing your firewall and filling your ports with technology goodness. It's the 1352 Report.
Hey everyone, and welcome to episode 4 of the 1352 Report. My name is Bruce Elgort, and we are here with the rest of the 1352 gang. Carl Tyler.
Hello, Bruce.
Sean Burgess.
Good evening.
And the lovely Jess Stratton.
Oh, thanks, Bruce.
You're welcome. It was in the script. I had to read it, so.
Well, I finally figured out after 4 episodes that you pause after you say our name, so we're supposed to say something.
Wow.
Took me a while.
That's okay. That's not bad. It took Julian around 10 episodes to get that.
How come Jess gets the lovely but Sean doesn't?
Carl, you know, in due time.
Because I won the gamble. You get the lovely next week.
This
you
is only 4. All right. You guys have a rough day. You know, the financial markets took a big hit today, and it's all because of Microsoft. Right, Carl?
Actually, I don't think it's because of Microsoft, but Microsoft have sent a letter today to their Congress people saying that they need to vote for this motion. I don't know if anybody saw that in the news just this evening.
Microsoft did.
Who is moving their microphone?
I don't know. Like,
that would have been me.
It's okay. Sean
has children problems.
Very much so. So, Carl, a couple of weeks ago on the 1352 Report, you mentioned the Lotus product wikis and you wanted to talk about them. Is that so?
Yeah, I mean, well, basically what I wanted to know was what people were thinking of them because, you know, and I know a few people that know that Volker and I were very vocal when we heard that IBM was getting rid of the Cambridge Redbook Center for Lotus. And, you know, IBM was like, oh, no, we're not. And then, of course, the second time around, we heard the same thing. And the second time around, they did get rid of that center. And they told us that the future was Red Wikis. And I personally kind of, you know, didn't really like the idea because I like, you know, sitting in bed reading a red book or whatever. And I don't find wikis that easy to work with. And I also feel that the structure of wikis where people are working on these things from home doesn't have the benefits that you get of having people stuck in Cambridge for 6 weeks or whatever location working on the technology, being able to call developers and being able to sit away from their office with a fixed timeline of they've got to get this book written and finished in 6 weeks so the editors can work on it and things like that. And the wikis don't seem to have that kind of same timeline or isn't working. But I think there's definitely not the same kind of, not work ethic, but the way people work if you're at home trying to do your regular job and working on the Red Wikis at the same time. I think it's very difficult for people not to be distracted and called back to do their regular work. Whereas when you're sitting in a site remote from where you normally work, it's very easy to focus and to work on that. So, you know, we were wondering how people feel this is going. So I've been speaking to people, you know, at things like the Collaboration University and the UK Lotus User Group to see what people thought of it and gathering different feedback. And I see that you actually posted a comment today on the LDD wikis, which is not quite the same as the Redbook wikis. But nonetheless, there are wikis out there. And I know that there's one for Same Time. And the Same Time one seems to be full mainly of things about Same Time test environments that they've used for testing and things. But I just wonder what other people are thinking, and the feedback so far I've had is that people miss the books. They'd like to know that a book's coming. They'd like to know that the book's going to be finished. I mean, the thing with the wiki is, you know, it's a little different to a book in the sense with a book I get it, and I, you know, the way my memory works is I can remember what's in those chapters and which book to go back to look at and find something. With a wiki, a new chapter could appear, and I know nothing about it unless I constantly go back and check, or I guess you could argue you could have an RSS feed or something like that. But it just, you know, there's something about a physical book that you print out, you keep, you know where it is in your bookshelf, you know where to look, and you just go find the thing you want, and you look forward to the next edition that comes out. So, I don't know. I personally don't think it's working that great. I think it's an experiment that IBM's performed on us, using the Lotus brand as the hip and cool thing to do it with. But, you know, Microsoft Press sells lots of books. IBM's still shipping tons of Red books for their other products. And, in fact, just a few weeks ago, one weekend, the main kind of image and everything on the IBM website was, you know, to do with the anniversary of Red books. They've been, you know, a huge number of years now. but it was saying about how valuable they are to people, how important they are to people. And it's just kind of interesting that, you know, they tried this out on the Lotus brand versus saying trying it on something like a System 390 or, you know, whatever they're called today.
I got a quick question for you. Now, you said that the DeveloperWorks wikis are different than the Redbooks wikis. I thought, I don't even know what Redbook wikis you're talking about then, because as far as I knew, even from searching and from what I've seen on the Lotus site, that those were the DeveloperWorks wikis were the only ones that I've ever been able to come across, even from the Redbook site. So what Redbooks wikis are you talking about?
Maybe I'm talking complete rubbish.
No, that's all right.
But you know what?
If it is the DeveloperWorks one,
what's the other?
They recently updated DeveloperWorks, so
maybe. Let's see. Well, why should you guys chat about it as well? I will go search the Red Books to see if wikis is there.
I kind of agree with him. The one thing that I agree that I don't think wikis are as user-friendly as other websites. But the other thing about the Red Books is that I need to know what I like about the Red Books is when I have a big project and I need to get it done, the Red Books are my first place I go because it's step-by-step, here's how to do it. And as Carl was saying, they go there for the residency. They give it their full attention. It's like a scholarly article. It covers everything. There's never been, well, I should say rarely has there ever been a situation that I need to face that wasn't covered so thoroughly in that mammoth Red Book about this one specific task that I'm trying to do. And I don't think you'll ever be able to get that in a wiki.
Yeah, I mean, the thing I always, you know, felt with Red Books as well was that, you know, they were written by the community versus being written by internal developers. You know, if you have the developer that wrote a feature, write the chapter in the Red Book, they're always going to tell you their feature works. Whereas when you take that feature into the real world, we find problems with it. And that was the thing that was great about Red Books, is that this person would document in a chapter exactly why the feature wasn't working, things like that.
Yeah.
Now, I'm getting confused because there is something called Red Wikis. If you go to IBM Red Books, you know, they have a draft that's called their Red Book Wiki Pilot. But maybe this is, again, something different. So I'm not too sure now. I thought the thing originally was that there would, rather than having Red Books, there'd be Red Wikis. But then related links is DeveloperWorks wikis.
Well, remember that Chris Toohey and a couple other people worked on a special project or wiki project for, I guess it was Domino Development Best Practices, right?
Oh, yep.
Now, was that one of these Red Wikis that Carl's talking about?
Yes. I believe so, because I have seen a lot of those best practices that they were talking about, and a lot of content from DeveloperWorks has already been migrated over to the wikis, the DeveloperWorks wikis. So it could be that they've kind of merged everything in there.
Well, I picked apart like the Lotus Notes one, and I think the Notes and Domino one, and there was maybe 100 articles in that particular wiki. As I said on my blog, 65 of those entries were individual posts about notes.ini parameters. So I don't know. I mean, I guess we're all confused, and we that's why we're doing this podcast.
All right. I found – okay, what he's talking about is www.redbooks.ibm.com/redwiki, and that is its own site. So that must be – that's exactly what Carl is talking about versus the Lotus wikis that are on the DeveloperWorks site. So he is correct. There are two different wikis.
The LDD wikis started, I think, Craig Lorden, I think, announced them back in the spring time frame. So, you know, they're fairly new, but I guess...
They're really good, though. I've since everybody's been talking about the wikis, I've been poking around there, and they're wonderful. I just never really knew that all that information was out there.
What were some of the things that you took interest of, Jess?
The Lotus Notes one. In particular, and a lot of it, they have actually merged over from, now I have to find it. Hold on one second. I'm going to get to it from your site because it's quicker. But if I go, I think it was called Lotus Notes Technical Center. Hold on. Rated wikis. So I go to the wiki page, and then if you scroll down, you can see Lotus Notes. They have their list of all the products, and each of those products has its own wiki. So if you go to the Lotus Notes and Domino wiki, it's excellent because, for one, it's just got that nice kind of Web 2.0 look to it. which it desperately needed. But right there on the homepage, it says, want to learn more about Lotus Notes? Access the How Do I page. And aside from the fact that it's all end user stuff and it's on a site called DeveloperWorks, which is probably, you know, they're probably missing a lot of traffic because of that. If they called it UserWorks or something, I think it would be great. But the page is called Lotus Notes Technical Content, and it's really great. It's got things like replication basics, mail routing basics, introduction to IBM Lotus Notes 8, you know, using Lotus Notes search. And then right there on the left, you can click in traditional wiki style, you know, find out how to do this, find out about Lotus Notes, Protector, Traveler, things like that. It's actually very comprehensive. Even though they don't have much yet, it's got tons of great potential.
Yes.
You know, the kind of basic help that people have been looking for a long time.
So this is the Lotus Notes wiki?
Yeah.
I click on Lotus Notes, right? And I am brought to, the blog template reskin for a wiki, right?
And it says, welcome to the Lotus Notes and Domino wiki.
That's correct.
Yep.
How to modify and then, font and color properties. Right. See, what I was doing, I was looking down the navigation on the left-hand side.
Yep.
And you can see the number of articles, right, posted for each category, right?
Yeah, like the categories, what Bruce is talking about are things like database mail file, designer agents, Domino agents, find out how to Lotus iNotes, formerly Domino Web Access, things like that.
Right, so if you go into, say, Domino agents, right, there are two articles. One of the articles is, I'm going to turn my head here, agent manager and run command, and Lotus Script agent optimization. So, you know, while there are a lot of concise articles here, Jess, you know, like you said before, there's nothing like having, you know, this concise piece of written work that describes, like in Carl's case, you know, how to install same time on, you know, Linux or something like that.
There's nothing like, when I need to get a project done, the one thing I don't want to do is muck around and, okay, well, this guy did this. Now let me go find the follow up and see if it worked. Okay, no, that didn't work. Now let me go to this next site and see what this guy did to see if it works. I don't have time for that or the patience.
Well, the other thing with the wiki is it's constantly changing and evolving. And it doesn't necessarily always evolve in a good way, which is somebody can go change that paragraph that you read yesterday that made perfect sense to you. And then the next day you're at the customer site and that page has changed, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of it being a wiki.
I mean, the other thing is, you know, you go into this wiki and it's, you know, like I'm in the same time one and there's a section called Navigation Diagnostics. And, of course, there's nothing in there. It just says Diagnostics because nobody's written anything on that section yet. Mm-hmm. Section on LDAP has nothing in it. And I guess IBM's wanting us to do their work for them in a way because, you know, I can hear people, and you know who they are, that responding like, well, you guys could fill that in. You could write that yourselves. You know, the section on same time security is zero pages. It's I guess things is like, oh, I guess I'd have to fill that in myself. But
yeah, but that counters what you just said though a lot with the Red Books, how it was written by non IBM people.
Well, this is but what I'm saying is the thing is though, these people would have agreed this navigation thing before they wrote the book. They'd agree the content of the book, then they'd have 6 weeks to write it. Yeah. But the thing is, you know, people from outside can write this. But, you know, the thing is, it's you've got to find the time to do this yourself and do it whilst you're doing other things. Whereas when you had dedicated time that you were going to spend this 6 weeks on site, that's what you were going to do. Mm-hmm. And there was benefits seen to that. You're going to be able to speak to developers. You'd learn other stuff that maybe other people wouldn't. You get exposure to individuals that you wouldn't get any other way.
A couple of
I think
there was benefits to do it.
I think the one thing that you just said there, Carl, was probably the most important thing, is the fact that when you're doing it on site, you have access to the developers right away. You're not waiting to see if you can figure it out on your own. You have access to the people who are writing the code in the back end, and you can, you know, talk to them and figure out exactly how it's supposed to work and actually document how it does work.
Right.
Which is a big deal.
And actually, if you look in a lot of the Red Books, you'll see things like the way this is supposed to work is like this, but in fact, it works this way. And we spoke to the developer, and they said it's being worked on in the next version or whatever. And you'll see comments like that in existing Red Books that are out there.
A couple things about the wikis that people may not know. You can rate a particular article, right, using a star, you know, 1 through 5 stars, you can comment on a wiki entry. Say Sean writes something on the Lotus Foundation's wiki, and you say, "Well, Sean, you know, I think you're missing something here. Here's what I think." Or I can just go into the page and edit the page itself. So there's also RSS feeds for each of the categories. When Jess mentioned before, she started reading some of those categories. There's RSS feeds for that. So in a way, you know, I mean, they are providing the foundation for it. It's just, you know, how many people are out there really wanting to contribute? We do it on our blogs, right? Well,
that's some of it. So maybe it's just a case of, you know, somebody plagiarizes something that everybody else writes. But I mean, it's not that you can say, okay, this wiki is going to be finished on this date, and then they're going to work on the next version of the wiki. You know, it's there could be sections that never get finished, right? Mm-hmm.
Hey, Jess, do any of your customers use wikis? I'm just curious.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Carl?
Well, everybody like uses. They've heard of wikis in terms of Wikipedia, but not they. You know.
They use Google. Most people I know don't ever think of putting anything into a wiki. They purely use it as a reference to look things up.
Mm-hmm. I can see
it's all about the way that most people don't write information. They simply consume it. There's very few of us that actually write the information. That's why there's so many people who are in the community versus the number of people that write the blogs.
Any of us tried to update Wikipedia or anything like that? I never have.
Well, when I go to a site like Wikipedia, or if I would go to the Lotus Notes Wiki, it's because I need a piece of information quickly, you know, and I need to go look up what I need to look, and then I'm done. You know, I can't even imagine being in a scenario where I would, you know, write a to-do list. Oh, yeah, I have to go back and remind myself to update this site because it was a little out of date. You know, I'm focused when I'm looking for something. That's the whole reason that I'm there in the first place.
I mean, the only reason I'd update a wiki is if there was something about me on it and it was wrong. And as there isn't anything there, I haven't had to do anything ever, so it's fine.
Oh boy, I won't touch that one.
If there's anything out there, I don't know about it.
All right, so anyone else want to add anything else to the wiki discussion?
I mean, I would like to say that I think, you know, red books are just a huge value. It's like I'm bitching at IBM here about the red wikis, but the red books, I still think they're one of the best things to come out of IBM. You know, I way back, Lotus used to have something called Lotus Press that they closed down. I think it was one of Lotus's big mistakes. Is people read things still on paper, and they like reading things on paper, and they like the convenience of having that book in their bag. Or, you know what, one of the best giveaways every year at Lotus Fair was all the red books on
a CD.
CD.
Yeah, I remember.
Oh my god,
it's like people just kept that in their bag whenever they went to a customer. They go, oh, you know what, I've got the same time red book. I'll print out the chapter that's relevant to you. Mm-hmm.
Do you remember the larger format books? Didn't they move to a smaller format book in the last couple of years? They used to have a big, thick, you know, big, I don't know, maybe 1.5 times the size.
I mean, the thing is, red books have literally been around, I think, for as long as I've been on the planet. They're not new. They've been around for years and years and years.
So about 100 years.
102, something like that, yeah. Mm. But they've been around a long time. And, you know, I don't think paper and books are going away anytime soon. Otherwise, Duffbert's going to have nothing to write about on his blog.
That Duffbert equals Tom Duff, for those of you who do not know that. All right, so Carl, what about, you know, we talked a little bit about the financial stuff that happened today. So what's this mean for Lotus?
I thought this was going to be a financial free zone today.
All right. Well, we don't have to.
It's going
to
be credit crunch free. I don't know. I think it's going to be interesting. I mean, there's a lot of mergers happening, and we know what happens during mergers. That's when people find the excuse to switch from one platform to another.
That's right.
So it's going to be interesting to keep an eye on that wiki that was out there that said which customers were using which mail platform and things, and seeing, you know, who's winning and who's losing in these mergers.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
But I know from same time watching it already, it's already pretty interesting to see some of these customers that are merging with other customers. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely, you know, interesting.
Somebody mentioned prior to the podcast that Bob Picciano, right? Picciano? Is that how you pronounce his last name? The new general manager of Lotus Software announced that there were 2 million downloads of Symphony. Carl, was that you?
Yeah. There were a few of them were me. I had problems. No, I think Bruce, you could probably just call him Bob. You know.
Okay. Well, we're playing golf tomorrow, so.
No, I mean, he announced on his interrupt speech that there's been 2 million downloads now, which is pretty good because just a couple of months ago it was 1 million, so they've done another 1 million downloads. Mm-hmm. I don't know whether that's unique downloads or whether that's just total downloads.
Any of you, any of the 1352 crew here get a chance to watch Bob's video? I think Ed posted.
All right. Well, Project Liberate is apparently it's a service that IBM has been offering for years, apparently, that they will actually come on site to your organization and go through all your software licenses and make sure that you're getting exactly what you need to be getting and you're not paying too much for what you don't need. And apparently they're saying that you can get up to, I believe it's 40 to 75% savings based on their findings. I'm pretty sure that's correct.
Yeah.
And that's Project Liberate.
Yeah, I was John Head and I were talking about this when we were at iLug. And, you know, John being the fanboy that he likes to be, was talking about how the faces of the Microsoft sales reps change when they see a Project Liberate guy sitting at the table.
Do they wear special clothes?
I don't know, but they must, because it's only a small, group of people.
They have Superman type outfits. They wear their underpants on the outside.
Absolutely, but they really don't want to see them there because then they gotta play sort of on the level ground and they lose a lot of money. Even if you stay with Microsoft, Microsoft gets a lot less money.
So it's basically the same strategy they're doing with Symfony. IBM doesn't care about making money with Symfony. They just care about Microsoft not getting money.
Just like Microsoft didn't care about making money with IE. They just wanted Netscape to go away.
So now the interesting thing is I actually blogged about this either today or yesterday. Today, say about it and saying, you know, to me there was still an unanswered question, which was IBM for a long time would not say whether you needed a Windows Server Client Access license if you used Windows servers. Because Windows Server 2003 had this thing that if you have software that hits the server, you need a Windows Server Client Access license. And IBM was always, we don't commit on Microsoft licenses, blah, blah, blah. And then, so I kind of raised the point of, well, surely they're telling their customers here about the Microsoft license agreement. And somebody from IBM actually very kindly responded, and it's somebody that actually has worked on Project Liberate and things. And as Jess said, they say that they can give most customers a saving of 40 to 75% by getting the Microsoft licensing right. And the other important thing they do say is that, yes, you do require a Windows Server CAL if your Domino server runs on Windows Server 2003. So that's if you're running Windows 2 Server 2003 and you don't have server access CALs, then you're currently not licensed correctly. So you owe Microsoft some money, funnily enough. So really, you want to look at other platforms if you want to avoid paying Microsoft money for your servers.
Wow.
Ed Brill, actually, on his site, just for those that are interested, on a blog entry dated September 26th, he blogged about Project Liberate, and he included a white paper that the Project Liberate team put together. He says it's with case studies from real-world customer engagements. So it's a paper that you can download, and it'll just tell you a little bit about it and how to save significantly on your license costs. So it's up there for those that want it.
And where will we put that?
In the show notes.
Can you sing that, Jess?
No.
Okay. Well, Jess is a...
Not unless we're at Lotusphere and I get some alcohol in me first.
Sake!
I would have said that sounds like a challenge, but it isn't, is it?
No, you don't want to mess with Jess and doing karaoke. So, you know, for those of you who don't know Jess and you have not seen her or her husband sing at... what's the name of the place again, guys?
Kimonos,
yeah. So very dangerous stuff. Well, we covered a bunch of stuff on tonight's little 1352 report. We suggest that you guys keep the comments coming. We saw some of the blog. The 1352 report is now on iTunes and is now functioning correctly. Thanks for all of those who pinged me. And also for those of you who despise iTunes – at 1352report.com on the right-hand side, there's just an RSS feed that includes the MP3s inside the RSS feed. So that's it. Jess, any parting words for the 1352 audience today?
I don't think so. No.
Mr. Burgess, we're going to buy you a new microphone now that the kids destroyed it, right?
Thanks a lot. I would like to say keep you guys' ears to the ground for some information coming out about foundations in the next month or so. Hopefully, if Bilal has gotten me the correct information. And we should be hearing something soon about new flavors of foundations.
Okay, so they have Start. They're going to have
other stuff.
Okay. And Mr. Tyler, Mr. Handsome, beautiful Tyler.
Lovely, Mr. Elgort.
Lovely, yes. You sound like Stewie from Family Guy, yeah.
Yeah, my head's just round, not as squished as his.
Oh, Peter.
Yeah, oh, Peter, that's very good.
You know what's the sad thing is?
Oh, my.
For years and years, my nieces and nephews have accused me of being Uncle Buck. And my latest trip, they've all been watching Family Guy. They've now decided that I'm Peter Griffin.
Oh.
Nice.
Yeah. All right.
Don't know if that is a step up or a step down.
It's a tough call. I think it's a parallel. It's just a sidestep.
Different vertical.
I mean, how many famous fat guys are there, really? What do they have to choose from?
All right. On that note, that's it for episode 4 of the 1352 Report. We'll catch you guys next week. Take care.
Thank you. Bye.